This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. I'm Bobby Norris and welcome to Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. And tonight I'm driving the ship solo. And you know, I always bring you a little jam-packed show. Well, tonight you're in for a treat because it is an SAS special. I've got two of my SAS sisters joining me. We've got Georgia Harrison, oh yeah, and Miss Bianca Gascoigne. But as you guys know, that we always start with a little bit of showbiz gossip, and we've got Sasha Morris in the UCO studios to give us all the tea on what's going down in showbiz town. Sasha Morris, what's going down, darling?
Well, everyone, literally, the office is going mad this morning. Philip Schofield's going to be back on telly next week.
Right, so talk to me. I saw this dropped last night, like a little trailer.
Yeah, little teaser. So he's going to be on an island. It's like just off of Madagascar by himself for 10 days, like fending for himself. And like from the video and the pictures, he looks very dishevelled. And it's going to be, so he's basically saying he's going to like talk about everything like this morning, all of that stuff. And he's going to address everything, but like on his own terms. Okay. And it's going to be good. But literally, we were all going mad for it. We were like, what's he going to say? Because obviously, he obviously left in a massive, under a huge cloud.
Yeah, there was no gold Rolex leaving or a Claridge clock.
No. So he's, going to be back. I'm very interested to see what he's going to say about everything. Because I think, I do honestly think he's going to be very honest. I'm hoping he is, and hopefully he'll address everything that happened. But it's had a bit of a mixed response. I think people are really intrigued to see what he's going to say, but also he is back on telly very soon after everything that happened last year. So it's a bit of an interesting one.
What's the vibe in journalists' office right now? What are you guys saying? Like, are you getting told anything on the DL? What is in this? Because it's a free night episode,
yes,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, three.
So there's
episodes
a 3 hours of footage, and it's just him. So he's got 3 hours of talking to do.
Yeah, pretty much. So I mean, it's a gold mine for us because he's a massive name, and obviously it was a huge story last year. So I mean, for us, it's very interesting because for a celebrity to do that, like to put yourself out there, like you said, literally just them talking to camera. He's like no crew, he's just talking to like a GoPro,
I'm guessing.
So it's very like intense and very like intimate, so it is brave for him to do something like that. And I bet he's very worried about sort of what the response will be when you're sort of putting yourself like all out there, how the reaction's going to be. Because he obviously wasn't ready to leave telly.
No.
So and I think he's hoping that this is going to be like his comeback. I think we'll have to wait and see what happens with it.
So Sash, legally, where do we stand, or do you guys know? Because you journalists, you always know your onions. Where does he stand in terms of talking about what everyone wants to hear about? Because it's alleged in the press and social media that NDAs were signed between him and other people involved, shall we say.
Yeah.
If NDAs are signed, even by him, if it's his NDA, can he even talk about what people think he's going to talk about?
I mean, we don't 100% know that he did have anyone sign an NDA, or the guy in question, but he's confessed to it. So he's obviously happy to, we'll see how happy he is to talk about the nitty gritty. But yeah, I mean, we don't 100% know that he did sign an NDA. I mean,
I thought that was common knowledge that everyone signed something after he did his
it wouldn't have been him though. So he wouldn't have signed one for his own thing because it would have been him wanting to keep it covered up. So it might have been that other people were.
But if he can sit on that island and talk.
Yeah, because the thing is, what he did, you know, everyone sort of remembers the phrase that he came out with was it was unwise but not illegal.
Yes.
It was dodgy.
Yeah.
But technically, he didn't break the law. So if he wants to talk about it,
in recent weeks, say no names, but certain people, it's not that kind
of
thing.
Different kettle of
fish. So again, whether people morally agree or not, again, we all are on the same page, I think. We know where we're at. But it's not that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think that was his point at the time, was that he was like, it was an abuse of power. but he didn't break the law. So then I think he was trying to go down the whole, it's like the whole cancel culture thing, that he was trying to say he's getting scapegoated and that everyone turned on him, and suddenly, you know, it affects his wife and his family and his job's gone. Everything for him.
Because he lost almost everything overnight. Bear in mind, I can't remember a time on TV. Well, he's obviously a lot older than me, and that's not being shady, but I can't remember there being a time without Schofield on the telly.
No, I know. So...
so for him, that he had, and he was, him and Holly, both of them were the face of This Morning. That's completely obviously changed now.
Yeah, so it had a massive impact.
And it's still relatively early doors.
It's very fresh, which I think that's what's caused the reaction to it, in that I think in the sort of, at the moment, with all these different celebrity names that are getting, you know, for different, you know, situations...
for illegal crimes.
Yeah, but it's all sort of, I think it's very fresh for people with sort of the whole male, female and sort of, you know, sex scandal stuff, everything to do with that. I think probably it is a little bit fresh for some people that they kind of don't want to see him on their tellies, but I mean, they just don't have to tune in if they don't want to. So.
And I'm guessing, because I've not seen social much today, but Holly hasn't come out and posted anything.
Nothing. Not surprising. They're still not talking. We did an exclusive today that they're still not.
Oh, with Holly? Yeah. Oh, she looks amazing.
Yeah. She looked incredible at the NTAs, by the way.
She did.
But still not talking, but I think he's sort of hoping that this show is going to be a bridge, going to sort of open up a few doors for him, and that if he kind of comes across well and he can kind of put across his point of view, that people will see his side and maybe they'll be a little bit more open to like getting him back in the showbiz world a little bit. And he's just been missing for the last year,
hasn't he? Almost overnight just had to go into hiding. As a showbiz journo in particular, what are you and your colleagues saying in terms of what's the likelihood that this is going to bring him back? Not that we know that he wants to come back, but the fact he is doing such a big show, like, and it's his show, it's him for three episodes. Do you think that's he's trying to get back in telly?
Oh, 100%. But I think the likelihood of it actually, I mean, he's never going to get back to where he was before.
No.
He was on one of the biggest names in television. He's never going to, you know, it's not as if This Morning's ever going to welcome him back with open arms.
No.
But he might.
Even We Buy Any Cars dropped him. Do you know what I mean?
It was pretty much.
So let alone This Morning, Darks on Ice. When We Buy Any Car, like, they've all gone. Like, everything overnight kind of just went.
I know.
Do you not think this is going to be enough to get him back to.
It might be. But like I said, it kind of depends on how he comes across. Because I think if he tries to do the whole, I was a victim in it as well because everyone turned on me, I don't think that's going to
wash
with people.
No.
I think people want to see him acknowledge that he did something wrong and to apologise and to, be contrite about it. And I think if he gets the tone right, there is maybe a way that he might be able to get like a show back. I don't think he'll ever do anything with ITV again.
No.
I think that's done and dusted. But there's loads of other channels.
This could be Channel 5 testing the water.
Exactly.
If this rates well.
Because that's the thing. If you get the good ratings, if the response is good, other channels could end up fighting over him, but you know, you can do podcasts, you could do a book, there's loads of other stuff that he could do.
Yeah,
so it will
absolutely be
interesting to see what happens.
So that's a watch this space. And moving on from Mr. Schofield, what else has caught your eye?
So it's a busy TV week, as I'm sure you'll know. Obviously, a Celeb SAS, everyone was talking about John Barrowman leaving.
Yes.
Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of faults, it wasn't something that he was there long enough to really have thoughts about. I genuinely, when that all happened, bear in mind this was day one, we're still, I think, in our, they call them civvy clothes. I was still in my lovely tracksuit. I hadn't put my uniform on yet, I don't think, at this point. I thought it was a joke when he ripped his band off.
Oh, really? God.
Because it is a bit of a joke. Because when he went, I'm out, I thought, oh, it's shits and giggles.
Playing up for the cameras a little bit.
I didn't think he was playing up to cameras. I just thought it was going to be everyone turns around and laughs and he put his band back on. I just thought he was trying to break the awkward, because this was our introduction to our new home.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is your dry room, which basically means this is, you get two outfits. One's always going to be wet because you're in the sea.
Yeah.
And one has to be dry. And then when you're not wearing one, the other's drying. So it's like a sauna for clothes. So we saw that. I don't think they'd open the door to the bedroom.
Oh my God.
So hence why, when he ripped his band off and he went, I'm going, I'm VW, which means voluntarily withdrawing, I thought, oh, it's banter. Yeah.
You're like, surely not.
Yeah. And then it kind of all happened so quick. And he wasn't joking. So what's social and the press? I mean, there's a lot been said in press-wise.
Yeah. But he's saying since it was because of the tofu that he had to eat, that he quit because he couldn't eat it. Was it that bad?
I don't think I was ever given tofu.
Oh.
But saying that, again, we did one challenge. So we'd done, I had a terrible time. So the first thing is we got out of the vans, we had to walk across a 400-foot canyon. So on the way back after that, we get put into like little Land Rovers and then taken back to base camp. And we're kind of given like a nappy meal, but not like Golden Arches. Basically, I think it had an apple and everyone had a roll or a sandwich. Oh, right. I can't remember. And I think some with cheese. So again, we're so shaking like shitting dogs. Yeah. We're traumatised. I was still jet lagged. I've been in the country about 20 hours. So yeah. I don't know my arse or my elbow. I can tell you if I had cheese, it could have been chicken tikka, it could have been egg mayo. I generally, if my life depended, I couldn't tell you. So I don't know if he got tofu in his roll.
Yeah, because he was just like, it was so disgusting that I threw it back up again and I was like, I'm not eating this. I can't do this. And I mean, I get being fussy with your food, but that's a lot.
I mean, I was sad for him after he left because I kind of thought, what a good experience for us all to go through. Yeah. Like, because everyone was there for, like, I think to do that show, like, you know it ain't. I've spent 10 years running up and down Brentwood High Road with a Louis Vuitton bag and slut dropping. So I know there's certain kinds of TV. But I think when you sign up to a show like that, you kind of, there's a reason you're there. Like, you either want to face a fear. I think from what I see in his VTs, he wanted to prove something, whether it was to himself or to other people. So I was gutted for him. But if he made the right decision and he said no regrets from what I've seen, if he doesn't regret it, I'm good for, do you know what I mean? Good for you. Like, it's not for anyone to force someone to do something they don't want to. Yeah. It's got to be a voluntary show. It's not like prison.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I guess everyone's experience is different. And I think he just thought, it's not worth it. And
didn't like the food.
Yeah. And he just didn't fancy it. But it's just funny. I mean, literally, I saw so many stories about it today about him leaving and how shocked people were, because I think it's, like, it must be the first time something like that has ever happened.
I think they say in history he's the quickest to have left.
It was like 32 minutes or something. So, I mean, good for him. He broke a record.
Exactly. And, I can't really say any more than that. Again, because I'm conscious as well that I never want to feel like I want to dwell on something. If he's happy with his decision, plus we're still so early into that series, I'm kind of like, right, John's gone now. Let's concentrate on the rest of Celeb SAS. You know what I mean? Because, blimey, we've barely scratched the surface. So John's good. He's over his sickness. He's got home. So he don't regret it. So happy days. I think we've got time for one more story, Sash.
Speaking of, well, not necessarily dropping out, but poor Nick Knowles, so Strictly's and he's had a mare. He's saying he's trying to fix his tyre on his car and he's done his shoulder in, so he doesn't know whether he's going to be able to carry on with Strictly.
And what's the latest today? Because I saw pap shots of him in a sling.
Yeah, so he's...
How's he done that, changing the tyre? I mean, I've always called the AA, I'll be honest.
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. That's why I don't touch him either. But yeah, he's in a sling and he's waiting. He was saying that he's getting top medical advice. He was going to rehearsals to see if he could still dance or not. But he's waiting to be signed off. So it might be that apparently Strictly bosses her, maybe will give him a free pass for this week just to give his arm.
Because they do sometimes do that. I think you get one pass. If not, I can come up to Elstree and teach you how to slut drop. You don't need two arms for that. Sasha, thank you so much, darling.
Oh,
an absolute pleasure. Guys, we're going to take a break and then we are going to be joined. And we've got the SAS special for you. So we will see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Foobar Radio. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be like. They see like the gym and the muscles and the tattoos and they think I'm going to be like this, like serious, like fuck boy, like lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Miss Georgia Harrison, my yes, I yes sister, how you doing, darling?
I'm good, thanks, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm so good, babe. It's a pleasure to have you in my old Access All Area studio.
Pleasure to be here.
So, babes, like, people know what time it is. SAS, we're two episodes in now.
Yeah.
We've got to start spilling some tea. So, firstly, what I want to ask you, bearing in mind that we know how hard that show is, when did you realise how hard it was really going to be? Because I think from watching the first episode on Sunday, for me it was before we even got out the van.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But as we was driving round that mountain, and you can't kind of see how high that is, I think, on TV.
Yeah.
Like, that was a sheer fucking drop.
Yeah. And everyone's already petrified from that point. And I remember you right going on after when we all got back to base, that saying, oh, they got me by the air and all that. And I thought he's well over exaggerating, but they really did. You know, they got you right up by the scruff.
Did they not get you by the air?
No, they left my. They probably thought she only got about four strands, bless her. We don't leave with nothing. Because you know what I mean?
I remember, because I don't think you can see in the footage, because obviously there's so much to show. I was sat in one of the first seats and we did have seatbelts on. I mean, fucking hell, that mountain, I was not having a belt on. Not that that was going to help if we fucking pole vaulted to the bottom.
Absolutely not.
And I remember, I think it was Rudy, DS Rudy, like, coming to our truck or van, whatever we're calling it. No, actually, it might have been DS Foxy. Anyway, it was one of them. And grabbed my ear and tried to pull, and went, oh, I've got my belt on. And they went, well, fucking take it off then. And they kind of cut that.
And you were struggling with it, I think.
I couldn't get the belt off, so they had me by the ear and was trying to, and I go, well, I've got a belt on. And they go, well, fucking take it off. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously they can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck of those. And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
So then fast forward, we're dragged off the coaches. We're calling them coaches. We're then marched with the bags on the head. How did you find the bag part?
Horrible. Like, I just felt like I couldn't breathe. Like, I think if you're claustrophobic, you ain't got a chance on that show. Like, there's absolutely no way. And I think it's just the not being able to see, walking at a different pace. And also, we could sort of hear like a river near us, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. It's freezing cold and you can just hear the water and all you're thinking is... And they're just going, walk, walk. And you think, am I going to get submerged? Am I going to suddenly go off a cliff? Like, everything starts going through your head. And at the same time, they're like whipping you. I mean, I've made that up. There's no whips, but that's how you feel. That's how you feel. And yeah. I think that was a real shock to the system. And I think when that bag first goes on your head and we was walking through, that's when you think, have I made the right choice here? And I think every single one of us were thinking, mate, this shit's real. And it's so mad because from that second, you're then in their world. You're then in a parallel universe. And if you want to step out of it, then you're going home. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's exactly, you bit the nail on the head. Because for us, we're still in our civvy clothes.
Yeah.
We haven't even got our uniform on yet. Bearing in mind, I think I was the last to touch down. Me and Bianca was the last to get down to New Zealand. So I think I was barely there 24 hours. So we'd all met at a hotel. There's like a cast hotel. And I remember, do you remember, we had our boats and I was like, do you want to try breaking them in? I had like half a day to try and break mine in. And I was like, well, we're going to walk up this... I would have said mountain.
It was my idea.
It was your idea.
It was a small... It was a hill. I couldn't call it a mountain, but I couldn't call it a hill. It was somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But the path was very small. And the higher up you got... So I walked up it on my own. I got about
you
halfway up.
You were pissing all over.
No, but then I got scared. So I then went back and I talked to the entire cast into coming with me. And, you know, thank fuck I didn't wipe out half the cast there and then. And as we've got halfway up, Bobby has just had a complete breakdown and has decided that he can't go any further because the heights are killing him. And everyone's, you know, oh, Bobby, you'll be all right. Like, proper, like, canoodling you, aren't they? And I come down, I went, right, no. I went, we're about to do SAS. They're about to fling you out of shit. You don't know what you're about to do. If you're going to cry on this hill, Bob, then you've got a big problem. I tried tough loving it and you were just like, ooh.
And, you know, I'll never forget because a lot of us, obviously, we've worked together years ago on town. I know Pete very well. The majority of our cast, I know on quite a friendly level, although none of us told each other that we was doing it because it's all on the DL. It's all secret swivel. So I never knew, apart from Marnie, I think someone in production might have made a bit of a mistake because they booked our doctors. You know, we had our medicals.
Yeah.
So I turned up with Mummy Norris to this big, posh, like, doctor's office in Harley Street and Marnie was sat in the corner of the waiting room. I went to make a coffee.
I
fat nose, and I didn't grasp them up because I thought I don't want anyone to lose their job. So I made a coffee, and I'll never forget. Mummy Norris in the corner. She likes her green tea, so I got her a hot water. She brings her own bags. She's that bitch. And then Marnie went, Bob, all shocked. I think she was reading Vogue. I went, hello, Marnie. She went, Are you doing this? I thought, am I doing it? What, you think just coincidentally we're both sat in this fucking really posh, bougie doctor's office in Harley Street? So apart from that, but again, that was only a couple of days before I flew. Anyway, long story short, I touched down quite late. We went up this mountain, but George is right, it was more of a hill. And I'll never forget, so I knew a lot of you pretty well. But a couple of people I didn't know from a bar of soap. I'm not very good at sports. But Chris, I had to say, the most loveliest man. Like, bearing in mind, this is like the captain of England rugby. He came and literally held my hand and got me up this mountain / hill. But I thought, fuck me, what a lovely man.
Yeah.
And I think we were so blessed with our cast.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone says that, but we really, really were.
Well, actually, when I've spoke to people who've done previous series, I said, you know, we had like, a real sense of camaraderie, like, with our cast. Like, we always helped each other. Like, we were a team, really.
Yeah.
We were, like, a team.
We're like the Mitchells. We're family.
Yeah, we're family. Get out of my pub. But... literally, apparently on other series, it's not really been like that. It was a bit every man for themselves. Like, it was almost like a competition for them. So I was really interested to see that. And I would have struggled so much more had I had that experience.
Absolutely. I've got to ask you, babe. And again, like, people are seeing now, but anyway, we're only two episodes in by the time people are hearing this evening. What have you found the hardest challenge so far out of the four?
Oh, obviously the backwards dive. I've done a somersault, made a right tip myself.
But I think this is the Don't thing laugh. About that. No, I'm not laughing because I failed as well. And I hurt myself bad. But it's one of them, as you fall back, I've put my balls on the table when I've been in the sea.
Yeah.
And when they go epic fail, I thought, well, what do you mean? I've got my hair wet.
Yeah. Shazzy didn't, did she? She just she hopped off backwards like a bunny.
What was hard about that for you? Was it the water side of things, the middle of the night, the middle of the sea?
The middle of the night, the being absolutely freezing cold again, the having to wait on the side while everyone else done it, and I'm freezing my tits off, and just the fact that I know for a fact I went for it as much as I could, but you still get called a complete pathetic failure. So then, you know, you're cold, you're tired, and you're a loser.
Yeah.
So all wrapped together, it's not a great experience, is it?
And I think a lot of people, and it's really hard, and again, like, of course, we know how TV works. Things have to get cut down and edited because it's a one-hour show. But in an experience like that, we wasn't sleeping particularly well. Like, it was like, there was one day, do you remember Cherry woke up? She was like, I don't want to be that bitch, but we've got to stop moving about in the night. But we're on, like, fucking metal beds astretch.
Literally, if you literally done that, it sounded like, I don't know, like, you know, like when people come to pick the bins up outside your house and you fume, that's what it sounded like. So you'd lay there, wouldn't you? You'd be a bit uncomfortable, petrified to move.
She had the arsehole about it. So then the next day I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not the best sleeper anyway. But that was our pets.
You didn't knock back with the rabbit, did you?
Oh, I don't know if they've seen that yet. Oh, well, yeah, a little bit of watership down going on.
The rabbit.
And I'll tell you
what. It was already dead. He just butchered it.
Fair play, Trey. But guys, what I will say is, because I'm not a fussy eater, but I know what I like and I know what I don't like. But I'll tell you what, if you go live up a mountain in the arsehole of nowhere, like you're living in the clouds, we're like the BFG, and you're doing SAS shit and you're hungry and you ain't sleeping, you'd be surprised how quick you eat things you think you wouldn't eat.
Oh, anything?
Yeah.
Anything. I was eating them weird figs. I was taking things. I was taking, like, literally an egg sandwich and wrapping it up so I could have it later. Disgusting.
They gave me that cleaver for them rabbits, and I don't know who it was. Remember, someone went, fucking hell, it's the Essex Dharma. And we're not laughing at the Dharma situation.
No, we're just laughing at how you embodied it.
How we become like cavemen and cavewomen. Yeah. Now, G, I've got to ask, obviously, we've all done a lot of press around SAS. And again, it's still early doors. We've just dipped our toe in. And we were talking about how we was all a bit of a family. And I'm sure you've seen, but Ovi's come out and said you was the only person that he didn't really bond with. And he didn't get to know you that well. And accused you, he said he thought you was playing up to the cameras. What's your right to reply? Because I don't think you've done an interview since. So I kind of want to give you this opportunity, Jay, to...
You know, I hadn't really seen that, but obviously there was...
Oh, shit, have I just...
Yeah, you've just told me. But, like, you know, I did feel that he held that opinion of me because of ways he acted towards the end. But for me, like, I flew out there with him. I felt like I got along really well with him on the way out there. And to be honest, I liked him throughout the whole experience. I genuinely didn't realise that he didn't like me until the last day. And even then, looking back, I thought maybe it was just because the situation was starting to get a bit of a struggle for him. And I felt that maybe he was just using that as an out. But apparently he just genuinely doesn't like me. And, like, you know me, Bob, like, I wasn't playing up to the cameras. I think after about, you know, a day of being there, you forget the cameras there and all you want to do is survive.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's a shame that he has that opinion of me. And I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, quite liked him.
Yeah, well, well,
and
I
still do. I'm going to take it on the chin, you know. And in life, I think I suffered a lot during my life of always wanting everyone to like me. And I think I found it really tough when I realised maybe potentially he didn't. But I think you've got to accept sometimes in life, not everyone's going to like you. And as long as you know that, you know, you were kind to people, you treat people with respect, and you didn't do anything that you regret, then you just got to shake it off and move on.
Yeah.
But my mate's a bit gutted as well because they all think he's really sexy.
He is a bit of a soul.
He is, I know.
Sorry, Ove, like, if you're listening, because we're like mates and he's a lad's lad, but he is a soul. Yeah. But again, I never picked up on it, and I truly believe that I thought we was all on this kind of like, I kept going, what a lovely group, what a lovely group. Because even though a lot of us, as we say, know each other, I remember the end of my bed was Rachel Johnson. And it was once or twice I literally woke up and I thought, fucking hell, I've been 300 metres, no, foot, I'm shit at distance, down that dam.
Don't get me started.
Basically, a big fucking dam. Don't ask me what a dam is. So I'm doing all this James Bond shit. And I wake up and then Boris Johnson's sister at the end of my bed. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And then you've got to wake someone up because we weren't allowed to go to the toilet on our own.
Yeah.
I still don't know the reason why.
That was one of my biggest... I think it's because in the SAS, if you were to go to the toilet on your own and you got shot in the head, there'd be no one to run back and warn the rest of the group. So I think, you know, potentially there's a chance you'll both just get done. But I guess they would assume that, you know, the odds of someone being able to get back are a lot higher if there's two of you. So I think that's why you always have to have someone with you.
Because that was really hard for me to wait, because someone that really struggles with sleep. So then go and see, like, shake someone and go, well, can you come to the toilet with me?
Yeah.
We say toilet, it's a fucking bucket. But you feel quite bad.
Yeah.
But again, that kind of, we called it a buddy up system.
Yeah.
So we really did bond. But again, I'm sure in the cold light of day when we all wake up in our own beds and we're in our own lives, them little things that get on people's tits wouldn't have been a thing. But as shows go on and days go on, I'm sure like people was probably grinding on each other's gears. Do you know what I mean? But there was no malice from anyone. Do you know what I mean? And we don't all know, like, because we're all doing different things. Like when we're not doing challenges, there's a lot of time in that base camp where... we're cleaning up chicken shit. We're cleaning down the toilets. Right?
Yeah, that's what I think. And look, in that environment, you're all bound to get on each other's nerves. But I think you just let it go, didn't you? Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's definitely people that have reached out like after and be like, oh, I know we might have like got on each other's nerves while we were on there, but I love ya. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think in that environment, people are going to clash, especially like, you know, as we get further in, there was definitely times where people's like agility levels are at a different stage, but you have to be paired up together or on a team together. And, you know, you have to be understanding, don't you? Like really understanding everyone is as strong, and you have to learn to, you know, have patience with people and accommodate for them. And I think that's like a big part of the journey as well, isn't it?
And I think what I realised, because again, age, gender, ability, agility, all that kind of goes out the window, because I realised like within about 24 hours, someone that can go and do something in the gym that someone on paper probably can't doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to fucking go leaps and bounds above them, because I actually think a lot of it's in your head. I think mental is almost more important than physical in a lot of that.
Completely.
Because if you get in your own head in that situation, you could be the fucking rock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no pulling it out the bag. What did you find the very hardest thing? Was it physical or mental? Because you've got a good edge on your shoulders.
I think mental... definitely mental in the end. Like there was things that, you know, you would so want to just give up, and you'd tell yourself, honestly, the hardest aspect for me was the cold. And I think that's when it comes to mental ability of, can you suffer the pain of being that cold and that tired? And I think that's why so many people really bring up their traumas that potentially they would never speak about on a different show. You know, a lot of us have been in television for over a decade.
Yeah.
And I think there was experiences that we all spoke about and really like let our emotions out about that we never had before. And that's because you are cold, you are tired, you are beaten down.
And you're vulnerable at that point.
Yeah.
Obviously, we originally, and I've got a call end to the interview. I could literally speak to you all night. We first met on Towie 100 years ago. How does SAS compare to Towie?
Oh, there's less rows, isn't there?
What, in the SAS or on Towie?
Well, there's less rows in the SAS than on Tally.
Well, I don't think there was any rows.
No, we literally, we punched each other in the face, we climbed up mountains, we wrestled each other, we done some crazy stuff, and we had less rows than we did back in the day in Sugar Art.
Yeah.
Mental.
Amen. Georgia, thank you so much for coming into Access
Thanks,
All Areas.
Bob.
You know I love you. And guys, literally, keep on tuning in every Sunday, every Monday, 9 p.m. Channel 4.
Woo!
Keep it real. Love you, Jay.
Love ya.
Access All Areas continues next. Foobar Radio. What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back, guys. And in theme with my SAS special, I have got my SAS sister, Miss Bianca Gascoigne.
The two B's in the building.
The two B's. How are you, Miss B?
I'm good. I actually miss everyone so much, do you?
Honestly, it's so weird. Like, two episodes in now, but watching it back, like, I'm like withdrawal symptoms.
I know. It was like, at the time, it was like the worst experience, but now, totally the best experience of my life.
So obviously, crazy. I've just had Georgia in.
Yeah.
And we were speaking it back, so I was a bit like, let's take it back. Well, we'll take it back.
But yeah.
We was the last two to leave Heathrow.
Yes, we was.
And I remember walking into departures, we was in... We'll be real with you. We was very fortunate enough that they paid for us to go first class.
Well, I met you at the bar, darling.
So, like, when you go first class, you're in your own lounge.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I saw Bianca in the corner and I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
I went, bang!
Because we didn't know who was doing it either, really. No. A few little things.
I only knew Marnie because we bumped into each other in the doctors. Someone made a mistake in productions.
I know. And then we saw each other and we literally had like the same experience that we didn't know if we were going, our visas weren't going to clear. Well, mine was because of a drink driving thing I did like when I was 18, which
because you
madness.
Was having a nightmare because you actually couldn't fly into New Zealand because we both had to go to Dubai anyway. And then we was being separated. Mm-hmm. Then I had to go to, I think I you was going Brisbane. I went to Sydney. And then from Sydney, I had to get, I mean, it was a fucking long
way. I had to leave
you. But they wouldn't let you into New Zealand because we had to have working visas.
Yes.
But do you remember we sat in the Emirates Lounge, not an ad, but love your Emirates, so get in touch. I always like to turn left. And we was all getting tagged into, because somehow someone had leaked a rumoured, I love that I'm doing air quotes, that was pretty much bang on.
Yeah, they were.
But someone leaked to the press who the celebs were doing the show.
Yeah.
And he was going, have you seen he's doing it, she's doing it? And I was like, no. I went, I don't know Marnie's doing it, though. Yeah. And he went, oh, I've spoke to Marnie. Because you had the same agent at the time, I think.
Well, yeah, we did. And then she said that she bumped into you. I was like, okay, cool.
So you knew more than me. But we was literally sat there waiting to get on a flight, looking at, we won't say the publication.
Yeah.
But we was like, who the fuck's going to be out there?
I know. And the thing is with us as well, we actually like are the same with our anxiety, aren't we? So like we were like literally like latching onto each other thinking, oh my God, thank God, like we're with each other at this stage because we'd actually gone through the same stuff. Like we didn't know if we were going, it was very touch and go, and then we was off, weren't we?
We absolutely were. Then I had to leave you at Dubai.
Yeah, I was very sad
for
about
me,
you jetted off on that buggy.
Was on the bugger, the DJ.
Like a proper like king who just so zoomed away.
Let's
into your
fast forward. You then get a visa. They allow you out of Australia to come to New Zealand.
Yeah, well, everyone was bonding apart from obviously you because you'd obviously.
Well, I was the last man to touch down.
Yeah.
I think we had less than 24 hours.
Oh,
I didn't know my arse on my elbow. I didn't even unpack my suitcase. Everyone, I think, had had 4 days.
No, even longer than that. They were all having a proper bonding session, drinking wine.
Someone had even started a group chat. I was getting FOMO. I remember trying a red one on my first class flight, going,
I was a bit gutted because I was like, we're going into it so fresh. But at least we had each other.
We had each other,
the
two
bees. That's the main thing.
So forget then the holding hotel, which... Blimey, I could do a whole show on just that hotel. That could have been a TV show.
That could have been in itself.
But then, as we see, the viewers at home see us enter in the Land Rovers or the coaches on that fucking mountain
where
we was almost hanging off the end. What was going through your mind at that point?
I was just like, shit has just got real.
Literally.
Like, it was just like, okay, it was just so surreal because I was absolutely petrified, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I was just like, oh my God, here we go. It's the unknown, isn't it? It's just like.
It's more than that. You're on the fucking cliff of death.
Yeah. I'm glad I went in a car with you because she was just being sick and that's like my worst thing.
Oh.
My mum went, thank God you went in the car with Bob's. Like, I was like, I know. Tell me about it because I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. I'd have my fingers in me again.
I think I'd got myself in such a... Because a lot of people was like, oh, would he eat something bad? Or why is it? Why is this geezer? Because I think I
You didn't eat no tofu, did you, darling? Like old John Barrowman.
I couldn't tell if my life depended on what was in my role because we all had like different packed lunches.
Yeah.
I generally don't think I was given tofu. But again, it could have been curry, chicken, beef. I was going to rate what I had to, but... I think why I was sick is I'm quite a highly anxious person. I know how to deal with it and I know my triggers in real life.
It was
and of course this show is real life, but it's very rare that you're an SAS real life person. And then to be jet lagged at your arsehole.
Yeah, absolutely.
37 hours travelling.
Excitement of it all.
That's a stretch. But
the nervous excitement.
And then they take the bag off your head. And then I see literally the first fucking... and I'm like, the first troll. It couldn't be more heights.
I know, but that's for you. Like, when you're in that car, you're going through mountains. So that's why you're going to be sick, because you are dealing with a lot at that time. And you're in the car for a lot of the time.
And I'm car sick. Motion sickness, car sick. Everything. And anxiety, all of that. And then stood. How I walked on that bridge. And when I was, I think some people on social media can understand, I went, I wouldn't walk on that bridge. In real life, I wouldn't cross a bridge. I don't like driving on bridges. I wouldn't walk along that.
I went, I'm so proud of him.
I went,
I'm just so proud of him, because I knew exactly what you were going through. And for you to even walk across the bridge, as you were saying, go down the ladder, I was like, nah.
But I don't go down a bit. I don't put a Christmas tree in the loft. I can't do ladders in general. So to walk across this fucking bridge 400 feet in the air, go down a ladder, which I would never... David Beckham could be laid on a platform naked. Sorry, Vicky. With a rose in his arse and £1 million in his mouth, saying that's all. I'll be like, no, you're
not
all right.
Not for me, darling.
Netflix and a wank tonight. You know what I mean? Yeah, it just wouldn't be a bit of me. Anyway, so I got that far. Again, failed in the sense that I couldn't do the challenge. But wasn't a fail
achieved.
To... I achieved to get on the bridge. Right. But no wonder I'm chundering, because I'm thinking,
absolutely.
Fuck me, how am I going to do 10 days of this? I can't.
But the next day, what a triumph. Come on.
Fucking, you know, I'm like James Bond.
Yeah, no, you absolutely was, darling. You went down like a whippet.
I absolutely did. So, B, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but obviously we've had two episodes that have gone out now.
Mm-hmm.
So them four challenges, what did you find the hardest?
It's definitely got to be the abseiling, because I'm not even scared of heights. I'm not even scared
of heights. You're so brave. Which we shouldn't have, what do they call it? Don't judge a book by its cover. Everyone goes, she's got lovely hair extension, she's stunning. But you're not, you don't give a shit about things like that. But people go, oh, she's scared and a man's not. But no, she's got bigger bollocks than I am.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. But no, honestly, going down that abseil, I was like, oh my God, I actually was really, really fucking scared. Like, I'm not even going to joke. Like, I was like, wow. And then I knew that you had to go and do it. And I remember I said to you, I was like, just think of these anxieties as little bubbles, as thoughts coming into your brain. And you have to go, thank you very, very much. I acknowledge you. I'm going to pop you and I'm just going to do it. And you said
like,
it worked.
You was like a therapist. And I literally said, as I was putting me in this harness, and I thought, if I plummet to my death,
Bob, I'm
my last
joking.
Thought is Bianca Gascoigne telling me to think of bubbles.
You know, like that harness, considering I've just had a baby, that was pushing on me. Like, I'm not joking. This is going to sound really bad, but a little wee did come out when I was going down that height.
Oh,
because
what?
It was the pressure on my bladder. And I had a baby.
Oh, what kind of, at least you had an excuse. You had a baby. I ain't had a baby. I think a bit of wee come out of me. So would you say that was the hardest by far?
I don't know if it was the hardest by far, but obviously
in terms
we
of what people have seen.
What people have seen, 100%. 100%.
Now, obviously, I've had Georgia in literally just before you walked through the door, and I was speaking about like the whole experience, and like it's very EastEnders, it's very Mitchell, but I felt like we were family.
Oh, my God. We were so blessed with the group that we had.
I think the best cast.
Oh, my God. Rachel Johnson, though. Can we just, like, share a moment for her? Like, she's gangster, badass, fucking love that girl, like, so much. I actually really do.
I would wake up and literally the... Because she was at the end of my bed. My feet touched hers, basically. And I used to be like, that's the fucking Prime Minister's sister. But and then we had to wake each other up. And because we know each other pretty well in the real world, I was like, Bianca ain't going
to
rape me, because we go way back.
She's soft. She ain't going to.
But I just thought, I'm not going to wake up people. I don't really. I certainly won't wake up fucking Rachel Johnson.
No.
But we would have to wake each other up. And we were so high, it was the clouds. And we couldn't go to a toilet on our own. It was literally like... And I didn't know, it was Georgia said, because in the army, if someone gets shot, someone has to get the message back.
Oh.
I never knew why we was waking each other
but
up.
But Georgia does know a lot of stuff about this.
She's so fucking clued up.
I was like, oh my goodness, like she kind of knew stuff. And
but
I was like, yeah,
to look at these mountains, think, I don't like heights. I've got to wake me old mate Bianca Gascoigne up. The Prime Minister's sister's at the end of my bed. What fucking,
I remember
what's gone on?
First time actual toilet happened, I took Rachel to the toilet. She went to the toilet and I was singing my family song, which is Ain't No Man in High Enough, which is kind of fitting considering we're surrounded. surrounded with mountains.
Yes.
So I actually sung to her while she was going to the toilet. That's like a story in itself, isn't it?
Who would you say? Let's do a little bit of, and it's all done with love because there was no real bad blood, but I've gone to do a little Q&A.
Okay.
Who would you say was the messiest?
I think that's got to be me, innit? I am pretty messy and unorganised. I think now I've realised I've actually got ADHD from the show. Like, I think it's actually...
So it's made you get diagnosed.
Well, yeah, 100%. Because obviously getting the bag ready, like getting everything sorted. I even set a light to my metal knife and fork, like further on into the
to
show.
To sterilise.
Because I kept forgetting it. I put the finger tape to the fork to tie it to the tin, and we went to a fire, and I just set it alight. And I think Cherry picked it up, and I actually burnt her hands. I feel so bad. But yeah, I think I would say I was the messiest. Would you agree with that, or
messiest.
Who would you say? Like scattiest would be me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Who would you say was the most argumentative?
Oh God! Towards, I probably would say Anthony, but he's so loving. But I think he got himself in a couple of to-dos on the show, like, and I kept saying to him, I was like, you got to stop, like, you need to chill out a little bit. But I absolutely love Anthony, I really do. But I think he probably might have ruffled a few feathers. Yeah. So he got a beast in.
Who just said the kindest?
Kindest. Oh, God. Who is the kindest? God, who would you say? Oh, would it be...
Well, I'm the one doing the interview.
Yeah, I was
like,
you're
quite
a minute,
it was so kind. No, I can't answer. Funniest?
No. Oh, funniest was you, hands down.
Oh, like, bless you. No, don't just say that.
No, I haven't even got a batter an eyelid about that. Oh, my God. You, if it wasn't for you, like, you literally just cracked me up. Like, I'm hoping the bunny scene is on. It's like,
God, yeah.
I can't always do a spoiler alert, but there was...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well... We had to eat some stuff and we felt like we was eating washed.
But I was saying to Georgia, in terms of food, because again, we were speaking about certain people and allegations about food. Mate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was a fussy eater, but I know what I like and I know what I don't. Like, I don't eat nothing out of the sea. Mm-hmm. But if you'd have ever said to me, even 10 minutes before going into SAS,
yeah.
Rabbit, I would have said, not in your life.
No. But
it's just never a pit. Like, I don't even eat lamb.
No, they're just too cute, aren't they?
Too cute. When you're living up a mountain and you're an SAS soldier,
you need to eat to get your energy. Like, you
and
know,
you ain't sleeping.
Yeah.
You're barely eating.
No.
You'd be surprised what you eat.
I'm sure both of us have
ate some terrible things in our life.
Coming from you, Bob. But no, but like, even like the sleeping, it was so cold, wasn't it? It was just freezing.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was a point, as I say, keep throwing it back to Rachel, because she was in my eye line. So I'd be like, it's the Prime Minister's sister. But do you know what? I was always very conscious, and I think I was the only person in the show. Because, and again, I'd like to throw this to you as a follow-on question.
Yeah.
But I'm always conscious, and I know a lot of people that have famous families.
Yeah.
But I consciously never speak about anyone's family. And I bet you can back me up on this. And I think I was the only person, because when I spoke to a producer after, did she tell you anything about Boris? And I went, I can honestly tell you, I never said his name, because I didn't want her to think... that I thought that was the only reason she was there.
Honestly, I feel exactly the same. Like, I had an interview the other day and they was like, oh, did you speak to her about Boris? And I was like, absolutely not. No, because I know kind of how it feels in that sense.
Yeah.
And I literally, the things that I spoke to her about, I was like, what's your favourite drink? She's like, tequila. I was like, my favourite too.
Yeah. And I'm sure so many people, like her, in episode one, she went, oh, someone come up to her and said, your family are cunts.
I was like.
And I think a lot of celebs, whether they show it or not, did speak about her brother. But I'm very conscious that I don't want to make someone feel like that. But.
She did speak to me about him a few times and stuff, but I didn't want to seem like I was too eager, and I was obviously conscious because you've got the cameras there. I don't want to seem like I'm doing...
Yeah, but I think if that person brings it up, that's different.
Yeah.
But in terms of, because you're very aware what that's like.
Uh-huh.
But again, I've known you 101 years.
Oh,
I've never
asked
you. I literally, my dad was the biggest Spurs fan. My dad loves your old man. I've never, in all the years I've known you, spoke about your old man.
You actually haven't, Bob, have you?
Because I just, I take everyone for their own, yeah. but you know, there's this whole term now, B, like nepo baby, and now like people frown on it. I hope you don't mind me asking this, but I want to know how you feel, because you're probably one of the original nepos. Not in a, how do you feel about that as someone that's, because everyone's like, oh, you're privileged, or just you're here because your family are celebrities.
Well, 100%. I wouldn't have got Love Island if it wasn't for my surname, would I? Like that would have not been an opportunity for me when I was 18, but there was no way I was going to ever turn that down, because I was a fan of the show. It was the second series, and I was like, absolutely. But obviously I get a lot sick all the time, even now. Like there was a couple of comments on my Instagram going, she won't be nowhere without a dad, and I'm like, yeah, I get what you're saying, there is a massive truth in that, but then I'd like to think I have carried myself for how many years since 2006 and you, in but, the media.
Yeah, your name might be a foot in the door, but you've got to earn a career. Yeah. I've literally got 2 minutes, but just taking that back,
mm-hmm.
Have you had that all your life?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, would you be bullied in school days for
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. Massively bullied in school. Oh, I think I thought I was someone I wasn't. But, you know, I just kept myself to myself. But, yeah, I've had it all my life. And people still say it now. Still, you live off your dad's name. And I understand what they're saying. But, you know, that's not the truth. I love my dad. And there's so much more. I know you've only got, like, 1 minute to go. There's a lot more to go with it. But, unfortunate. I would like to think now, after so many years of being in the industry,
I think you've had your stripes, babe. Absolutely. I know you don't mind me. But because that pisses me off when people say that. Because they say it about Brooklyn. But, and I'm like...
Anyway, we make the best of what we can, you know.
Of course you have, but also they can. Vicky and David can open a door the same as your role, man. But if you don't walk through it, you've got to run.
A lot of people, if they get offered the opportunity,
I love you. Go, guys. Love tune you. In every Sunday and Monday, Channel 4, 9 p.m. Celebrity. Yes, who dare wins? Love you.